T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. For those who want to follow along for the visuals, you can check us out at 957thegame.com. We are live streaming, as we do each and every day, the final hour of the program. Cam Inman, 49er beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, set to join us in about 25 minutes at 9:30 on the Dialpad guest line. All of our guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. We mentioned the Dialpad guest line because we go there now. He's the host of Intentional Talk on Major League Baseball Network. You can also find him on the NFL Network, the host of BattleBots, one of our favorites, Chris Rose, joining Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Chris, thanks for your time. How's summer treating you?
It's going great, guys. How's everybody doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. And like always, we love it when you join the program. We're going to start with what's going on here in San Francisco. As an outsider, someone who's watching everything taking place around Major League Baseball on a very regular basis, what do you make of this current hot streak the Giants have put together?
I think it's great for them. I especially in Bochy's last year, it looked like for the first 2.5 months it was going to be a complete disaster. I mean, I'm talking about one of the two or three worst teams in the league. And they've put together this nifty little run. I get it. They're within 3 games of the wild card. If I am Farhan Zaidi, does that change my thought process on Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith? It absolutely does not. Part of the reason he was brought in as quote-unquote an outsider, meaning he wasn't promoted from within the building, was to kind of be the bad guy and to kind of break things up with this love affair that the city has had with this particular group of guys and manager for the past decade that has brought unprecedented success to this franchise since it moved out west. And you could look back at it and say that the organization kind of whiffed on some contracts they gave guys for what they had done for the organization instead of what they still could do. With all that being said, this is a great little run they've been on. I know fans are passionate about saying, listen, we're within 3 games of the wild card. There's not a great team in the National League outside of maybe the Dodgers, and I would put the Braves in that category. We could go on another magical run. I don't see that happening.
How much
did I ruin your morning?
No, Chris. And
not at all.
This is something that we've been going back and forth on. I'm more of the camp where you can perhaps sell off Bumgarner and Will Smith and still find a way to stay in the race because of the relative mediocrity in the National League.
Yeah.
What do you think about that potential?
I think it's possible, but you have to remember that teams like Milwaukee, maybe the Phillies would try to add something. Washington's a team, if they put anything additional in their bullpen, they could be a real dangerous squad because of that starting rotation and if that lineup is healthy. I mean, their bullpen is still among, if not the worst, among the worst in all of baseball, and they put together a great run over the last 8 weeks. So, that's the thing. Could the Giants compete with teams that are improving? That we don't know because we haven't seen anybody fire any bullets.
Chris, another team seems like they're competing and they're winning at a clip like the Giants. They seem hot. Can they really compete? Can they compete with the Yankees? Can they compete with Tampa Bay, Houston? And that's the A's. How serious and how good is this team?
Well, I learned my lesson years and years ago when I was like, come on, the A's? And then they ended up winning that crazy year where they beat Texas in the last series of the season, and won the West and all that sort of stuff. So I have never, I will never doubt that organization. I will never doubt Bob Melvin, who I put up in the top two or three managers in baseball. And I don't doubt the players, because those guys just bust their butt. They stay quiet. They're, you know, the second most popular team in the Bay Area, and they're remarkably consistent right now. I don't think they'll top Houston. They have not played them well head-to-head. Now, I don't believe they played a series in a while the A's have really kind of gotten their act together. But can they make it as a wild card? Absolutely. I mean, now, can they win a five-game, you know, if they advance past the wild card, could they win a five-game series against the Yankees? That's tough. I mean, the Yankees, in my opinion, are the best team in baseball when it comes to October rankings, just because of the way they're built. They could have a starting pitcher go three innings, and they would be fine. Most teams, the starting pitcher goes three innings in the playoffs, and it's an unmitigated disaster, but not for the way they're built. So they're the little engine that could. They got tremendous heart. They've got a ton of talent, especially in that infield. But, you know, if they match up against the Yankees, they're an underdog.
Chris Rose, the host of Intentional Talk, joining Joe Lowen-Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. The Dodgers have been flirting. They've been flirting for quite a few years. How do you stack up this year's chances versus previous year's chances?
They're really good. The trade they made with the Reds did so much to, you know, dislodge the glut of outfielders they had out there. So now Bellinger is an everyday starter, and you've seen what he's done. He's right now the MVP with Yelich running a close second. It also allowed them to play Alex Verdugo and give him a shot at the big leagues. And he is a really, really solid baseball player. Offensively, defensively, he can do it all. This team needs at least one bullpen arm, if not two. Kenley Jansen, I don't know if you watched last night, but he's had a lot of wear and tear. He's thrown a ton of innings. I don't think any reliever in baseball has been asked to get more multi-inning saves than that guy since he became the closer. And they've been to the playoffs six straight years, so he hasn't really gotten a breather either. So they need to bring in I would like to see them, if I were a Dodger fan, I would try and get Brad Hand away from the Indians, a guy that is an all-star closer that can pitch in other situations. He's left-handed, so that can help too. And on days where Kenley Jansen needs to kind of chill out and you stay away from him, Brad Hand's an all-star closer. But, you know, the Indians are also right in the thick of it too.
In the thick of it for now, but maybe closer to fading out of it than they are surging into it. Do you think that this one singular trade deadline is going to help teams like the Indians who are on the bubble, or hurt them make these decisions?
Well, I don't know if help or hurt is the right phrase that I would use. I would say it just puts a significant amount of pressure on the decision makers.
Sure.
I mean, they don't have an extra month to figure this thing out. They got to basically figure it out by this time next week where they are. They really do. And I was shocked that we didn't see more action in the month of June. I thought that teams who were in it would have gone to the six bottom feeders that we have in baseball and tried to pry a Shane Green away from the Tigers and Ian Kennedy away from the Royals. Guys like that that could help contending teams get over the hump. But, you know, I guess I can't wait for the next 2 weeks to unfold. I mean, it's going to be – you're going to see guys flying off the shelves those last 48 to 72 hours.
Chris Rose with us here on 95.7 The Game. Final question. We want to go to the NFL for just a moment. We know you're a Browns fan. People are excited about the upcoming Niners season. Week 5. Niners will play 3 games. They'll have a bye in week 4. Browns will have 4 games under their belt. And then week 5, Monday Night Football here at Levi's. What's your outlook for the Browns this season, and what's your outlook for the Niners this season?
Well, the Browns are, you know, the one thing people forget about the Browns, they're still in a really good division. And I know they're the chic pick, but, you know, the Steelers, even though they got rid of Antonio Brown, they didn't have Le'Veon Bell, so you can't say they got rid of him last year. They're still really good. If they can shore up that defense, they're going to be fine. Baltimore's kind of a wild card because, you know, what are they going to run with Lamar Jackson? Is that a sustainable offense? And if it is, will NFL defensive coordinators have an answer for it? We just don't know. I think they're, you know, they're going to be an amazing watch at times. I am really optimistic about the Browns. I think that if they have 7 wins going into December, that's going to be amazing, because they play Arizona, Baltimore at home, and then Cincinnati twice. So I think the Browns could get into the postseason quickly on the Niners. Obviously, with Jimmy G back, I like him. I don't like him as much as I like the top 2 teams in that division. My dog obviously doesn't like something about Jimmy G.
Dog very upset Sparky. About
Sparky.
The Niners.
Yeah. Sparky down.
Very upset about something. I think she's upset because we have to play you guys after a bye on a Monday night. I'm already chalking that up as an L. You know, I'm like every other fan. I go through the schedule the day it's released. And so that's going to be one of the 6 or 7 Browns losses right there.
Wow, good old Cleveland optimism. And, Chris, I did want to give you an opportunity to gloat over the end of the Warriors' run. It wasn't LeBron and your Cavaliers.
No.
It was Kawhi in Toronto. But we'll clear the decks for you to go ahead and rub our noses in it. The dynasty's over.
No. If KD had been okay and Clay had been okay and they had lost, that's one thing. I am not the fan that, you know, is like, oh, they got hurt. Nuh-uh. That's not how I roll. And listen, you guys had an amazing – I never hated the Warriors. I just want to get that out there. I was disappointed when we would continually lose to them. Did I wish that Kyrie and Kevin Love were healthy in that first series? Certainly looking back on it, I do. You know, I think I was just kind of happy to be in that first one at all. But, you know, you look back and you say, well, maybe the Cavs could have done something a little more special. But, you know, guys had a great run. It'll still continue to be interesting up there. I would take the over in every game that you guys play. And that's that. We'll stay classy.
Classy indeed. The host of Intentional Talk on MLB Network. You can also find him on the NFL Network, host of Battle Bots. The guy's a worker, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Rose, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, guys, were you expecting me to talk some trash about the way? I mean, I'm sorry. I did. You know, it's the summer. It's my wife's birthday today. We're all about peace. And
shout out, Mrs. Rose.
About rubbing things in people's faces.
Yeah, that's a Dibs thing. Lo and I, we knew you'd be a classy guy when you come on. Dibs
absolutely.
Is just trying to poke the bear.
It's a trap, Chris. It's a trap.
You handled it well, Chris.
Dibs,
Chris,
weren't you the one about the home runs and the Yankees setting
yes!
the runs,
right? Yeah.
And I'm still awaiting your apology. And by the way, 4 teams will surpass the record that I declared would be set last year. And yet I still wait here for the apology, Chris.
That wasn't a hot take. Good job, Chris. You crushed him on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, that's all right. I mean, really, he probably knew exactly what they were doing at the baseballs. And he saw, you know, the Yankees grounds crew moving the fence in like 3.5 feet.
Of course.
Season. So he had some inside info on that.
Me and Rob Manfred, hard balls, Chris.
Great stuff as always, Chris. Thank you very much.
You got it, guys. Have a great summer.
The best.
All right. 2 big things to discuss from that. Number one, try to explain yourself.
Whoa.
10 yards,
what's
misappropriation of the
this guy's
staff.
Working the board. He's not. His job isn't to fill up your water bottle.
Is he Adam Sandler? Wait, and this is not Waterboy.
Whoa. Time out. Let me explain this. I'll go.
This should be good.
Okay, I go and get a couple.
Well, okay, hold on.
We're backing up.
You can't just hit that immediately.
We're backing up 10 minutes. Wow.
Joe, I go get a cup of joy during the last break.
Okay.
I have my water in the freezer.
It's a giant jug. How much does that hold?
It's a gallon of water. Yes.
Okay, it's in the freezer.
I got to get this done halfway in 40 minutes. So I have it in the freezer.
Not going to ask why.
And Steinmetz comes in, and I have it in the freezer, and then I take it out, sit it there, and I get my coffee, and I'm trying to get back because I know Dib's going to throw the flag if I'm late or anything like that.
Yeah, the whole idea of, you know, being in the room on time.
It's an unfair bar.
Dib's such a stickler.
And he's been, remember you got on him for being late a couple of times.
He deserved it. Yeah. He flagged himself.
No, I didn't. Anyway, and so I run back and I leave my water. Steiny, being the great man that he is, Steinmetz brings the water over here. I love you, Steiny. You're the man. And then Steven just, all he did was usher it in.
Okay, so
you
didn't
Steven.
Send them to get it filled
no,
up.
No, this is brand. No, this is brand new water. This
Dibs, I kind of feel a little bit better about the
Thank
situation
you.
Now. I felt like he sent Nice Guy to fill
right.
that up, and that was completely inappropriate. Now that he lays it out, it doesn't seem
what is
as
that?
Egregious.
Know, sermon it's or something like that?
Equally
Please.
Egregious because, and we'll bring in Nice Guy here. Nice Guy, how many jobs are you doing today? You did the pregame show. You're running the board. You're doing a great job.
It's solo, too, because Anna's out.
It's a Wu-Tang Wednesday, and you're doing updates. Is there anything in your job description that involves fetching water for a 16-time NFL player?
No, that's wrong. They'll add a line.
Excuse
leading,
me?
What's incorrect?
I'm leading. Fetching? That's not leading, counsel?
I'll allow it.
Counsel, that's not leading?
He fetched it.
Pre-game show 5 to 6, by the way. Tune in 5 a.m. in case you're up early. And
I
you really
promoted
wanted...
it for you. Just answer
yeah,
the question.
It's a great show. We love it.
Leave him alone.
One more time. 5 to 6 pre-game show.
Yeah, don't miss it.
Not,
I never do.
As selfishly, I wanted to get my face on camera. I feel like you guys have been hogging the live stream ever since we've done
there
it.
You have.
I haven't got my face in there. Steinmetz did walk in. He handed me the water jug. Although, you could have been like, hey, you could wait till the break and bring it in. You didn't have to have me do it in the middle of
the professional.
Steve, wait a minute. I didn't ask you to bring in it right then. Steven.
I went in your ear and I said, hey, this water jug was brought in by Steiny. Do you want me to bring it in? And then you nodded your head.
And made an interview, yeah.
Yeah, because he only got 40 minutes to drink half of it for some bizarre
When he should
reason.
Have been locked in on Chris Rose's every syllable.
Okay, can you guys...
Pre-game show, have a second foul on
Joe,
the play.
Why don't you get on him?
Good pregame show, by
he
the way.
He asked me.
5 to 6.
He didn't have to talk... He wanted to come in here. Why did he? He didn't have to ask me about the water. Why did he do that?
He's also jerking around with that old
you.
Person app today,
Thank
taking
you.
Everyone's picture, getting the old app.
At Jolo and Dibs on Twitter.
Is it up there now?
It will be on there eventually.
What's the holdup? You got water to fetch?
Exactly. And also, I was grabbing this sound in case any listeners are wondering what Chris Rose was talking about. He did call Dibs out last season.
Dibs, you better have better flaming hot takes than that one.
So good
to believe that's way over a year ago. That's like a year and a half ago. That
right.
Conversation.
Because my hot take was that the Yankees would break the single season home run record. And he mocked me for saying it wasn't a hot take at all. And in fact, they broke the record barely by two home runs on the last day. So
it. Yeah, but the balls are juiced.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
a sandbox. The lineup's loaded.
And they just got Stanton and all this stuff. You act like you went out on a limb.
Hold
Stanton,
up a minute.
No, no, no.
Stanton,
coach.
Hold up, H2O. Hold up for a minute over there, H2O.
Hold up, Aquaman.
We didn't know Whoa. At the time that the balls were rock hard. We didn't know that Rob Manfred had juiced the rock to the extent that we now know. So the take was hot,
a hot
then,
take.
And it's hot now.
That's why he said that.
The take's so hot, I need to have it doused with water. Good thing you have a 7-gallon jug in here.
It's not going to help you. He has to drink half of it within 40 minutes. And why is that, by the way? I didn't hit that. You know that.
That was me.
I'm going to get my gallon in. I try to get my gallon in within this 4 hours. So I already
1 gallon in 4 hours.
Yes, so I already had half a gallon earlier. You saw that from yesterday.
What do you do after that? Then do you continue consuming water even past the gallon?
Yes, because I'll go put in a couple miles today, and I want to sweat. So, hey, you know.
That's what he does
See,
after.
See, this again.
Oh, that's fart and all
classy
that stuff.
Classy radio
needed?
Station and that. You go and do that.
Yes.
Coach, you asked what he does after he drinks a gallon of water, and I guarantee you. Is a part of it.
All right.
That's not all what I heard in there.
Oh, there's also a little bit after. And then, of course, after, hopefully. Although he uses a urinal, and that's more of a...
That's actually not him. If you're ever in the restroom when he's in there, he's generally conducting business on his phone, too. So he's, like, using the restroom. He's talking. He's trying to get jobs done. Things got to be handled. Wraps himself up. Keeps moving. The guy never stops.
I told you.
He's
not
on air.
He's sitting over there by the morning.
What about you when I'm in the restroom? Do we want to go there?
Well, you've already broken it out before when I'm in
Dibs
there.
Dibs has a very regular schedule for how he handles himself.
Oh,
he's consistent. If nothing else, he's consistent.
You're the most consistent man I've ever met.
I can't wait till you guys get to be an old guy like me pretty soon. Yeah. It's rough being 50, Coach. You'll see.
51's right around the corner, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you're damn right it is.
What's the day?
August 15th. This year I'm going to
oh
be gone, fortunately. But
where are you going?
I'm going to Bandon. We talked about
this. Did you finalize it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God.
Google Bandon run.
Yeah,
so,
you will not be disappointed. Yeah. Greatest golf complex on the planet.
Looking forward to it.
You playing all four? What are you doing?
I'm playing all four. Playing with my brother Mike.
They got the Preserve there, too, the short course, if you're interested in that. And the punch bowl. Do you know what that is?
Yes, that's the putting green.
The gigantic putting green. That's all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
They come out with cocktail service for it. It's right outside the Pacific Dunes clubhouse/restaurant.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
I can't wait. We're playing 18 and then 36 and then 18 on the third day. It's a two-night, three-day, four-round little mini junket.
How'd you structure your order, if I may ask? It's very important how you structure the order of courses.
I want to definitely buy you a couple drinks, Dibs, for your birthday. So absolutely. Be sure to see before you go. And if you still want that bet, that London-Paris that we remember that ticket, if you want to go with that under seven, you want to take that number seven.
Oh, the old London-Paris.
We'll visit that in just a second.
Yes.
We got Bandon Trails to open
Woo!
Wednesday afternoon.
Okay.
Tough.
Bandon Trails is the most underrated of them. If you go multiple times, you'll end up ranking Trails as the number one course there. But your first time, you appreciate the two that are on the coast more. So Pack Dunes and Bandon Dunes will be your top two
choices. That's my doubleheader on my birthday.
Oh, my God.
9:40 Pack Dunes, 3:30 in the afternoon, Bandon Dunes. And then
plenty of cocktails in between.
Old McDonald on Friday at 8:10, and then we're off to Eureka to remember my father and his
Beautiful.
Passing. We have the memorial race up at the Humboldt County Fair and all that. So
beautiful.
Little junket, but yeah, we'll probably have to stop six times on the way up so I can use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, he's got quite the schedule.
Bring it full circle.
Quite the schedule.
Tough, man. You get older and, man, do I have to go.
Chris Rose, as a Browns fan, thinks the Browns are going to lose that Monday night game to the Niners. That's interesting. Really interesting.
And he's been listening to you, Joe.
Coach, I
don't say it.
Hate to
don't
do it.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, we're there. We're there. Cam Inman, we'll talk to him next. We'll get into Chris Rose's comments about the Niners and that bet. That bet where Lowe is willing to buy one first class ticket for Dibs to go to where'd you want to go? Prague? Is that what you said? Prague?
Prague.
Go to Prague and back. Based on the Niners. We will flush out the details on that and see if Dibs is ready to commit. It's Joe, Lowe, it's Dibs. But first and foremost, all that nonsense brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Jason Momoa himself, the Aquaman. Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Sorry about it, Lowe, but it's my time right now. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Bay Area baseball is a-cooking right now, people. Giants have won four straight, making that nine of their last 12. They look to sweep the four-game series against Colorado today with rookie Sean Anderson on the bump. You go across the Bay Bridge, the A's have won five straight and go for the two-game sweep over the division rival Mariners. NFL Insider Week continues here at 95.7 The Game. Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, Steve Mariucci, Peter King, Brian Baldinger. Those are just some of the names we've had on this week and will have on for the NFL season. Coming up today, we got more as former 49er Ian Williams will be in studio with Bonte Sine and Guru at 12. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. Coming up, 49ers beat writer Cam Inman joins Joseph, Lorenzo, and Daniel next. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. As I stumble through that, 95.7 The Game.
What's the common theme throughout our NFL Insider Week? Expectations are high for the 49ers.
95.7 The Game NFL Insider Brian Baldinger joining us here.
This is a team that has to go out and win 10 games this year. If they don't, it's going to be a major disappointment.
95.7 The Game Insider Jerry Rice with Joe Lowe and Dibs.
If we go 8-8, that's a great season, but, you know, expectations are higher than that.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game.
If Garoppolo plays 16 games this year, I'm picking the 49ers to go to the playoffs.
Football Station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Down the stretch they come. Your boys Joe Lowe and Dibs taking you up to the top of the hour. Steiny, Bonte, Guru. They're holding it down starting at 10 a.m. We go to the Dialpad guest line now. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. Cam Inman, 49ers reporter from the Bay Area News Group, kind enough to join Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, good morning and thank you for your time. Let's start with this. 9 days from now, the Niners will report. 10 days from now, they will hold their first practice. Will Nick Bosa be signed by that time?
Good morning. That is a good question. I would say, probably not just the way this thing goes, but I would say it's probably going to be concerning if you're about maybe 1 or 2 days in and he's not there's no sign of him yet. You know, everybody's fearful that he's going to take the path that his brother did. Joey was out a few weeks going into his rookie year because of the contract stalemate. But and, you know, Nick wasn't around for much of the offseason practices. He hurt his hamstring in what I believe was the second practice we saw him out there at. So he's a guy that can't miss time in training camp. He needs to get in, needs to get signed. And the way the rookie rate scale is, everybody knows his contract's going to be $33 million. He's going to get $22 million as a signing bonus. And they just got to hammer out whatever offset language and get him in.
And if he does get in on time and he's able to be on the field, get ready for week one, what's your biggest concern about this 49er defense then? Does it shift to a linebacking core with Quan Alexander trying to be healthy, or a secondary that appears to be largely the same as it was last year?
Yeah, I would say probably the bigger concern would be at linebacker, because Quan Alexander, their high-priced free agent this year, is coming off an ACL just like everybody else seemingly is on this team. But then also Fred Warner didn't practice in the offseason because of a knee injury. So I want to see those two leaders of the middle of the defense be ready to go, and they're supposed to be. I would imagine this is how the Niners medical staff has operated over the years, that they'll kind of gradually ease those players into action rather than have them go full speed on day one, day two of practices at least. But I mean, you know, Dib, there's so many injury questions with this team. And when I'm kind of like trying to project what the team's going to do this year, you know, before the offseason program started, I said, well, they could win 10 games just like they could have last year before Garoppolo got hurt. But then you realize Garoppolo is not the only one coming off injured. We do have the Quan Alexander at linebacker. There's Jerick McKinnon. There's players all over this roster that are coming off injuries, and the Niners need to hit on all of them as they be healthy.
When you look at both sides of the ball, which one concerns you most? Which one's going to be the leaser of the two if you had to go out on a limb today?
I would probably say offense, because it's such an offense-oriented league, and the quarterback situation, especially with Jimmy. I mean, it's the Niners, it's the NFL. They've invested a lot in Jimmy Garoppolo. He's coming off of reconstructed knee. That everything's going positive that we can tell, and it probably will for the next few weeks. And we won't know really how at full strength he is or capable of until the first few weeks of the regular season. But they need to put points on the board. This is a team that really struggled over the years and get points in the red zone. Kyle Shanahan can scheme guys open, so there's going to be plays to be made out there. And it's time the Niners outscore people. I mean, the defense will be better. They can't be any worse than they were last year in terms of getting turnovers, takeaways, interceptions. And they'll have a better pass rush, regardless if Nick Bosa or Dee Ford. They're going to be big contributors to it. They've added on that pass rush. So I'm more concerned about offense, how they're going to split the load of running back, and which wide receivers are going to step up and kind of show everybody that they can be the targets for Jimmy Garoppolo besides George Kittle.
Sure. And it, when you talked about running back by committee, how do you see that shaking out? Do you see this team being heavy on the run, even if it's not just running with the running backs, but misdirections, getting to the perimeter because you have guys like Goodwin with the speed? Do you see it being a predominant run team, or do you think it's just going to be a great mix?
It's a good question, because they have really good depth at running back, assuming everybody's healthy.
Sure.
It's always a big assumption, right? I mean, I'm very curious to see what Jerick McKinnon is going to be able to do after missing all of last year with an ACL. And obviously they brought in Tevin Coleman to possibly be the mainstay running back if McKinnon's not ready, or if Matt Breida isn't ready for that role. I mean, he ran for almost 1,000 yards last year on a really bad ankle. So don't discount him out of this, but they also have some wide receiver weapons where I think they're going to want to throw the ball around. And that includes to the running backs too. So it's one of those, could one guy emerge as like the main guy? I don't know if that's kind of Kyle Shanahan's thing. He likes to rotate guys in and out, but obviously he's only going to start three running backs, or have three suited up on game day. And then you're also going to have Kyle Juszczyk coming out of the backfield. What position though? Fullback. That'll be it.
My man.
Cam Inman joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned the wide receiver position. Deebo Samuel out of South Carolina, the team's early second-round pick. He isn't signed either, same agency as Nick Bosa. Not something to panic about, but what type of role could we see from Samuel? It feels like a lot of guys that we bring on this program have big aspirations for him. They think he's really going to fit this system nicely.
He should fit the system nicely, and he looks like a great player. I would just caution in that rookie wide receivers rarely have breakout years right away. I mean, you're not going to get a 1,000-yard receiver out the gate usually. There's, especially with a complicated and tricky, you know, this offensive scheme is not easy to learn. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan is going to want to put too much on his plate and expect him to be a 1,000-yard receiver out of the gate. You know, that's kind of more, if you're going to put those expectations on a young receiver, then put him on Dante Pettis, who's a year into the system. And he also was a second-round pick, and he was a year ago. And then, you know, Marquise Goodwin's around. There's a couple other wide receivers that they're going to be fighting to make their own name, and then some other guys in the slot. But, you know, I really like what they could have with Deebo Samuel. And this guy, he works hard. He's got that physical body that I think it just reminds me a lot of how Anquan Boldin dominated the league for about 10 years. And I think Samuel kind of fits that mold.
Wow, it's high praise giving Samuel the Anquan Boldin label. Cam Inman, fresh off Camp Cam here on 95.7 The Game. Maybe some details on exactly what you've been doing out there on the loose here coming up. You look at the offensive line, Cam, and you see a group that's returning from last year. Is the consistency going to outweigh the question marks you have on this offensive line?
That's you know what's funny was when the Sharks were in the playoffs and they had all the offensive line there to open the Sharks locker room doors. It was you saw this kind of brotherhood of all these guys having a great time together, getting along, and they all lined up when they're like opening the doors in the right spots. Like Staley's on the left, then Tomlinson, and then Richburg, Mike Person, and then on the right side is Mike McGlinchey. I'm like, man, it's just like they're like a regular offensive line. The way they walk together, and they call themselves the bro line instead of just the O line, and I like it. And I think that consistency is going to be good. And they obviously have to be better, especially up the middle and the interior where there's more question marks. But I do like how the offensive lines come into shape, and I think consistency is so huge. You know, when they went to the Super Bowl 6 years ago, was it? Six, 7 years ago, it keeps going back further and further. And that offensive line was the best offensive line in the league, and it was a consistent offensive line. They all started every game together, and I think that's just vital for them to work together.
Jimmy G working with Tommy House, how is that working out for him? What have you heard, if anything?
Yeah, you know, Jimmy like tries to downplay stuff in terms of saying he doesn't want people to think he went and, you know, redid his whole throwing motion. He just kind of, a lot of guys will go use quarterback coaches or mechanics just to fine tune stuff that they see. You know, there was one comment Jimmy said to somebody about this, how Tom House is trying to, he likes guys to learn how to, you know, throw better using their legs. And to me, that's huge because Jimmy's coming off the ACL. Mm-hmm. So how much faith does he have in that left leg as he's going forward on his throw? It's just something that's going to be worth watching because all we saw in the offseason program was you're just passing against without a pass rush coming at you. You're not really having to roll out. So that's going to pick up here in the next few weeks.
Cam Inman, 49er reporter from the Bay Area News Group, kind enough to join Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Cam, we always appreciate it. Enjoy what's left of your summer. Camp's right around the corner. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right, good deal, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cam. What was the Niner bet that you two had toyed with regarding the first-class ticket to Europe for Dibs? What was, like, the criteria? Was this a wins bet?
Yeah, yes, it was. And I'm going to give you – I think we said five, but I'll give you seven. So I think I think that seven's a good number. I'd love it if you still want it.
So Dibs, to rehash, was a little bit more bearish on the Niners when we discussed this. You were bullish.
Yep.
You're saying if it gets the 7-9, 7-9 or worse, Dibs wins? Or what happens on 7?
I think that 8 is – if it gets to 8, I lose, he both lose. I'm going over. I'm going to 9 now. I'm saying 9, so I've coming up.
You're projecting the Niners at 9 wins or greater.
Yes.
Okay.
And you got to be at 7 or under, and 8 is just
Eight's a straight-up push.
So it's the Vegas number now. You've come up to the Vegas number. Okay, interesting. Interesting. Do you have any interest in this, in any sort of wager whatsoever? You originally were offering a first-class round-trip ticket to Europe for Dibs.
Anywhere in Europe. And I chose Prague because it's a city that I loved in 1993 when I visited, and I have longed to go back in the 26 years subsequent.
Okay.
And I am interested in this. To a point.
You should be. It's a first-class ticket to Europe.
Yes, but when the other shoe drops, and I've seen what happens when the other shoe drops in these
sorts. That was last year. You got to put it behind you.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm waiting here to see what the other shoe would be that would drop in 2019, because I know what it felt and smelt like last year. And so I'm wondering, you know, before he was saying such things as, you got to put my drawers on your head. And
right. There's ridiculous. Do you know what the counter would have to be?
Disgustingly out of line.
Well, I think we'll go to the text line and get the one. Joe, you're so mad. He loves
I
you
forgot see. About what, because I kept thinking, like, man, I'm not sure why Dibs hasn't jumped at this. It's such a good deal.
Right.
And then it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, Lowe wanted something. And one of them was like, you've got to wear my dirty drawers on your head
right.
for the show. And
as
it's
you
like,
know, I'm mostly bald, so it's not like I have a hair buffer that would prevent whatever's going on over there from touching my head skin. Ugh, I feel like you're having a beer and tomato juice right now. I'm about to retch.
Think about your mindset to ask someone else to do something like that.
Because I work out.
It's the type of stuff like Ted Bundy probably used to say.
No, he's John Wayne Gacy. He's talking about eating somebody. I wouldn't do that. I mean,
No, you've got a line.
Yeah, just drawers because, it'd be funny for that hour.
Hour?
15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Dibs, this is getting to become it's a pretty good 15 minutes
just a word
for a first-class ticket to Europe?
First-class ticket. You're confident. You said all the things, all the injuries, all the friggin' a first-class ticket.
Right.
My favorite part about all this when it started a couple months ago was when you were like, first-class, like, well, what if he wants to go to someone? You're like, you're right. First-class, or I'll get you two business Coach, so you can take your wife.
Take
and
your
Dibs
wife.
Goes, no, I'll just take the first class. He's very quick to jump at that one.
You can't do that.
She doesn't even want to go to Europe, Coach. She wants to go back to Africa or South America. Europe's not on her list.
Go back
really?
To Africa.
And we've been married for, she's been there twice. That's why I said go back to Africa. Yes, but you repeated it, so I had to clarify because then
he's just doing the right thing. It's 2019.
It comes across as
she's been there a few times. I've heard about the trip. South Africa?
No, she's been to Senegal twice.
Senegal.
She wants to go to South Africa.
That's right.
She wants to go to South Africa. We discuss this quite often about her and African culture and your son, and so we talk about it.
Right. We've been married so long now that vacations tend to be separate vacations, such as my trip to Bandon coming up, and you know she's got a trip planned coming up, and I got a trip.
I'm looking forward to this era.
You're a good 12 to 15 away from that.
Yeah, I'm never going to make it,
unfortunately, because you got young children.
Yeah. So some drawers on the head, and then and me wearing some Speedos. You got to lotion my whole body down, oil, you know, and lie for the
that you did the hard left.
My man, our producer,
Curly,
I don't know if
can't handle
survive
it.
That.
Yeah, Curly, you're new to these shenanigan type things.
Well, we got to make it, you know,
interesting. Yeah, no, I agree for sure. You're putting a first class ticket on the line. I'm just trying to reel you into a singular idea rather than just like, hey, where are my dirty draws, and then rub me down, and then you know, it's like this keeps going to a point where you can't. You can't televise it. You can't stream it.
Yeah, you can.
Can't talk about
it. The revolution will not be televised.
He's going to get a first-class ticket. I'm going to make him uncomfortable. I'm going to spend $8,000-$9,000.
Is that what that costs?
$6,000-$7,000. We looked it up.
Man, that's the dirty draws on the head for 15 minutes for $7,000. That's a pretty good risk.
Yeah.
Risk-reward analysis.
Now, you say that, but then you think about this morning at 5:52 when we saw Lowe come back from his workout.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What was the situation?
Definitely going to be a workout.
Pouring sweat everywhere.
Lowe's down 30 pounds. Absolutely. He's looking good.
Yeah, no,
but he's working so hard now that I can't imagine like the Famunda that's going on. And that's going to be on my head for 15?
Yeah, I don't.
For $7,000,
you can
Coach?
Wash it off.
You have to really hope the Niners stink this year. Like, you can't go into that bet thinking, it's a 50-50.
No,
that's probably
thinking.
Not a 50-50.
No, it's... Well, and the
over he throws out the Speedo. You can rub oil. You can oil him up. Like, he's...
No,
pretend he's a... Pretend that he's going out for a bodybuilding competition. You got to rub the fake tan all over him.
Right.
Would you do that?
Yeah. That in my
how do you even get any benefit out of that? Because it's not like you're actually going to. What are you going to do? Walk outside? Then you're going to put your clothes back on.
Yeah, but we can live. I want him to feel. God. I just want to.
You just want to humiliate.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He loves it. And that's why I love it, because I love it.
And people think you're such a nice guy. They're always like, man, Lowe Neal seems like a cool guy.
I am cool.
Shocker. He's not.
No, I'm so cool. I love making him uncomfortable like this, Joe. Because he gets. He gets.
I think most humans would be.
He's like, look, don't do this. And that's why I love it, because he starts getting a little fidgety.
Nice guy. Round trip ticket to Europe. You can go see your family in England.
Hello.
And first class, but if they eight or nine or more wins, you're wearing the drawers on your head. Dirty drawers. What are you doing? You got hair? He's got a buffer zone.
Just keep me out of this, please.
You're in it.
Because
you
got that pre-game show,
pre-game 5 to 6 a.m. show.
Pre-game show, 5 to 6, everybody.
So what's the answer? That's the trade-off for the promo. Turn the mic back on.
No, I'm not doing that. Nope, not with the drawers. Not with the draws.
I hope everyone in England heard that. Speaking of Great Britain, Open Championship.
Starts
very early in the morning. It will be in full swing by the time we come on air tomorrow. I was told you have locks.
Yeah, I've got
I'm always up for locks.
They're not favorites. These are better prices that you might look for if you're looking for somebody to beat Brooks Koepka, who
Lotto
is
tickets.
A prohibitive favorite. I got three picks all at 20-1.
Ooh.
Guys who I like who are legit players who have a shot. Ricky Fowler.
Hey, what about a little drum roll or something?
Well, I don't want to take it away because I know we got Bet 162
coming up. Bet 162 is just a couple words.
We got five Open Championship locks for you, coach. My 20-1 guys, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood, and my favorite, John Rahm.
Of course. You've been telling me about him before anyone knew about him. I remember the day you told me. It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, big on Rahm. And then my two long shots, I like Matthew Fitzpatrick, who is an Englishman. Much like Steven, about 24, 25 years of age.
Dainty in stature, like nice guy Steven?
Yes, and also very, very effective at 5 a.m., I'm told, and he has an early tee time tomorrow. And my real big long shot, keep your eyes on this guy, 60-1, Eddie Pepperell.
Oh, okay.
Eddie Pepperell, he's out early tomorrow. If you're looking for a first round, I don't know if they have first round leader props, but Eddie Pepperell's going to go out and shoot a great round tomorrow in the opening round.
Okay, very nicely done. Very nicely done. Now, when it's all said and done, it'll just be Koepka, and you'll lose all those, right?
Yeah.
You'll just win again.
I was in Reno, and I did five $20 fires, and Pepperell is 20 to win 1,200.
I like it.
It's lottery ticket stuff.
Shoot your shot, yeah. Coach. Shoot your shot.
Because Brooks is the favorite, and then, you know, your Justin Roses and your other prohibitive chalk plays.
People love Rory. Didn't he win the Irish Open here in 2012? Which is interesting, because this course is not part of the Open Championship Rota.
Right.
This hasn't held it in like 60 years. Generally, it's like every 5 years, 7 years, you're coming back around. So you've got a whole new crop of people who don't know this, but it's Rory's backyard from where he grew up. And I believe the Irish Open was here in 2012, and he won it there.
Yeah.
That's why he's probably the big favorite.
Royal Portrush, although there are two holes that they just created, two holes that were taken out, two new holes that were put in. So even the course that Rory played is different from the one they're going to play starting tonight. First tee time, by the way, 10:30 tonight. Our time.
Up on our, thank you for the locks. Up on our Twitter account, at Joe Lowen Dibs.
Yeah.
Nice guy Steven came in here and took pictures of all of us to use that old man app thing where it makes you look way older than you are. And it's up on the Twitter account. Lo, you look like an old man. I look like an old man. And now you've got a bunch of comedians in the feed going, you forgot to do it on Dan Dibley. You forgot to do this. How come they didn't do it to Dibley? Which they did, but it's the joke that Dibs already looks old.
My joke is
the material's everywhere.
The picture actually makes me look younger, which was my joke, which is better than all these amateurs, all these Twitter hacks trying to be funny.
I'm going through the whole feed. It's why didn't you guys use the filter on Dan Dibley?
Nice.
No change for Dibs. Bummer. Wow. You forgot to do it on Dan Dibley.
Oh, and those are text of the day nominees. Those are on Twitter. It doesn't even count.
Bet 162. We had a winner yesterday.
Here we go.
It was a one-unit wager on the Giants. 100 to win 160, and it came through for us. Shout out everybody who stepped up big in the 10th inning there. So that $160 win gets us down to minus 287 on the season. Still in the red, minus 287 today. It's going to be, oh, no. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong bet. Yesterday was $100 wager to win $118. Smaller victory than that. Smaller victory than I was trumpeting. Minus 287, though, still the total. Today, back to the well. I don't see any reason to break from it. I'm taking the Giants again. They're plus 160. Sean Anderson on the mound. He's pitched relatively well this season. Last three starts have been a little shakier, but you know what? Plus 160 for one of the hottest teams in baseball. You keep throwing it out there, I'm going to keep taking it. So one unit wager, risk 100 to win 160. Game number 96, Giants plus 160. There it is. There it is indeed.
Riding a hot hand. Best of luck to you.
It's amazing. I'm going through it. Like early in the season, I had all these words and different phrases for explaining what I was doing. And now you're just looking at it. It's a bunch of just SFG plus
right
over the last few weeks.
And you were down like 1,500 at one stretch, weren't you?
I think the that was worst the was max. 17.
Wow.
1,700 on May 14th.
Came storming back.
May 14th. It was the 41st game of the season. I bet on the Giants. I lost. Shocker there. Down to 1,700. Since then, I got as high as plus 524. And that was on game 76, June 23rd. Going through a bit of a down patch now, but June was a very good month. July has not been all that great yet, but we'll see. We'll see. That's a wrap. That's it. For Dirty Draws, Low Neal over there. For Dan Dibley. I'm Joe. Bonte, Steiny, Guru, their next Ian Williams is going to be in studio with them at noon. That's going to be awesome. Ian, always a good time. But for us, we're done. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. 6 a.m. is the time here on 95.7 The Game.
What's the common theme throughout our NFL Insider Week? Expectations are high for the 49ers.
5-7 The Game NFL Insider Brian Baldinger joining us here.
This is a team that has to go out and win 10 games this year. And if they don't, it's going to be a major disappointment.
95-7 The Game Insider Jerry Rice with Joe Lowe and Dibs.
If we go 8-8, that's a great season. But, you know, expectations are higher than that.
Peter King here on 95-7 The Game.
If Garoppolo plays 16 games this year, I'm picking the 49ers to go to the playoffs.
Football Station, 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.